أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Dars e Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahda, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِيمَا إِنْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِيهِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ سَمْعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُهُمْ وَلَا أَفْئِدَتُهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِذْ كَانُوا يَجْحَدُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا مَا حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْقُرَى وَصَرَّفْنَا الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ فَلَوْلَا نَصَرَهُمُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ قُرْبَانًا آلِهَةً بَلْ ضَلُّوا عَنْهُمْ وَذَلِكَ إِفْكُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته After mentioning the incident of the nation of Ad and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them due to not accepting the prophethood of Sayyiduna Hud alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now addresses the disbelievers of Makkatul Mukarramah. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي مَا إِمْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِيهِ. In this sentence, there is the word in. And according to the commentators of the Quran, there are three opinions with regards to this word in. The first is that the word in here is za'id. What this means is that the in is extra. So just as a simple example that in English, you have silent letters. So when you have silent letters, you will write the letter, but you will not pronounce those letters. So in Arabic, in some cases, in a sentence, you will have a word, but you will not translate that word. So some commentators of the Quran are of the opinion that the word in here is za'id, is extra, meaning that you will not need to translate it. So in that case, the translation will be that we granted them, meaning the people of Ad, we granted the people of Ad powers. We granted them immense physical strength. We granted them financial ability. We granted them powers that we have granted you. So we granted the people of Ad powers also, and we have granted you powers also. But just as you have learned from the previous ayat and the previous verses, that after giving them all of these powers, when they were not willing to accept the message of the Prophet of the time, Sayyiduna Hud alayhi salatu wassalam, we destroyed them. In the same manner, we can also destroy you. So don't be proud and arrogant over the powers that we have given you. You are proud and arrogant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such numbers which He has not given the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba are only a handful. And we are the majority. So do not be deceived that because we are the majority, then success will be with us, and because they are the minority, then they are definitely going to fail. Just look at and ponder over the people of Ad. They were also the majority. And Hud alayhi salam and the believers were also the minority. But what was the end result? The minority were saved and the majority were punished and destroyed. When it came to money, financially the disbelievers had much more in comparison to the believers. But again, who was destroyed? The disbelievers were destroyed and the believers were saved. When it came to technology, the disbelievers had more technology in comparison to the believers. The disbelievers were more advanced. They possessed more skills. But again, they were destroyed and the believers were saved. So the people of Makkatul Mukarramah, initially and thereafter, all the disbelievers or all the disobedient servants of Allah, they are all being addressed until the day of Qiyamah. That never remain reliant upon the resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Never remain reliant upon the abilities that Allah ta'ala has given you. Because if you do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these resources of yours, these abilities of yours are not going to be able to help you. So this is one interpretation. The second tafsir is that the word in here is shartiya. So the translation now will be that we granted them, meaning the people of Ad, powers, إِمَّكَّنَّاكُمْ فِيهِ, if we had given those powers to you, then imagine your rebellion. In other words, we gave them much more in comparison to what we have given you. Physically, they were far stronger than you are. Financially, they were far more well off than you are. When it comes to numbers, they had much more numbers than you have. But despite of all of that, we destroyed them. And you have less in everything, but look at how rebellious you are. You are feeling proud and arrogant over the little we have given you. So imagine if we had given you that amount which we had given them, then how rebellious would you have been? And the third tafsir is that the in this sentence is nafiyah. And this is the most preferred opinion. So now the translation will be that we granted them, meaning the people of Ad, such powers that we never gave to you. We gave them such powers that we never gave you. Hum ahsanu athatha wa ri'ya. Allah Ta'ala mentions in another place that the people of Ad, they had far more resources in comparison to the people of Makkatul Mukarramah, the disbelievers of Makkah, who at this moment in time of being proud and arrogant over their resources, they have nothing in comparison to the resources we gave to the people of Ad. Ganuhum ashaddu quwwa. When it comes to physical ability, they were far more physically strong. It was explained last week that with their bare hands, they would go out hunting and they would be able to hunt an animal. There was no need for any weapons. If they wanted to pull a tree out with their bare hands, they could pull a tree out from its roots. And they had such physical strength that they would, with great confidence, chant this slogan that, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa?" Who is there in the world who is more powerful and stronger than us? So Allah Ta'ala is saying that, look, the power that we gave them, the physical strength which we gave them, was more than yours. وَأَكْثَرَ أَمْوَالًا And Allah Ta'ala says, we gave them more wealth in comparison to the wealth we have given you. وَأَوْلَادًا They had more children, which means their numbers were even greater than your numbers. And when it comes to technology, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that وَمَا بَلَغُوا مِئْشَارَ مَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ Everything that we have given you, if you compare it to what we gave them, you do not even possess 1%. You do not even possess 1% of what we gave to the people of Ad. وَمَا بَلَغُوا مِئْشَارَ مَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ But again, despite of all of this, you are feeling proud and you are feeling arrogant. So imagine if we were to decide that we are going to destroy you. Do you not think that we can't destroy you when we destroyed the people of Ad? And furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that as far as your power and your influence is concerned, then your power and influence is limited to the area of Makkatul Mukarramah. Outside Makkatul Mukarramah, you have no influence. You have no power. You are only ruling over Makkah. And as far as the people of Ad were concerned, their influence stretched over thousands of miles, all the way from Yemen to Oman. This entire area. So in every aspect, they had more than you. In every aspect. So keep this point in mind that no power is able to defeat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ سَمْعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً That we gave them ears and eyes and hearts. These three organs are very important. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned them multiple times in the glorious Quran. In many places in the Quran, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these three organs: the eyes, the ears, and the heart. With the eyes, we are able to see. And with the ears, we are able to listen. Now the eyes and the ears, they are, you can say, messengers. So the eyes, they capture the pictures, they capture the images. We see things. And with ears, we are able to listen to information. But the ears, they cannot understand anything, and the eyes, they also cannot understand anything. So after capturing the image, or after capturing the sound, the ears and the eyes, they transfer this information to the heart. And the heart is connected to the mind. This is why even in English we say heart and mind. Because heart and mind are connected. In Urdu you say dilo dibag. Dil and dibag. Heart and mind. The mind cannot see and the mind cannot hear. And the eyes and ears, they cannot understand. It's like you have one computer, it captures an image, and thereafter it transfers the image to a second computer. Even the first computer cannot understand anything, even the second computer cannot understand anything. There is a human on this side who can understand. So the eyes capture all the images. The ears, they listen to all the information. They transfer it to the heart. And from the heart, this information is transferred to the mind, and now the mind has the duty to ponder and think and come to some sort of a conclusion with what it has seen and what it has heard. And from the many ways in which a person can acquire information or knowledge, there are five senses. So from the five senses, one of the senses is the sense of touch. We touch the carpet and we say that this carpet is soft. So if you are asked that, how did you come to this conclusion? How did you gain this information that the carpet is soft? You will say that I use the sense of touch. You drink something and you say that this drink is sweet. You eat something and you say this was sour. How did you gain this information that this is sweet or this is sour? So you will say, I used the sense of taste. That's how you gain the information. And you have the sense of smell. You say that it smells as though there's a fire next door, there's smoke next door. How did you gain this information? I used the sense of smell. But with the sense of smell, the sense of touch, and the sense of taste, a person does not acquire that amount of information that he will acquire through the sense of seeing and the sense of hearing. The majority of the information that we acquire is through the sense of seeing and hearing. This is why Allah Ta'ala mentions these two senses in the Quran over and over again. And then from these two senses also, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the sense of hearing before the sense of seeing. Because in normal circumstances, if you place students to one side, because students, they will use their eyes to read books. But normal people, a person walking in the village, a person walking on the street, a normal layman, the majority of the information he acquires is through listening. In comparison to seeing, he gains more knowledge via listening than he does via seeing and looking. A person is sat in this room. So when he is sat in this room, he can only see what is in this room. He cannot see what's happening in the next room. But if somebody was to shout from the next room, he will be able to hear it. He is sitting here and he is looking. He can only see what's in front of him. But if someone is behind him, he cannot see that person. But if he was to say something, he will be able to hear him. So a person in normal circumstances gains more knowledge through hearing in comparison to seeing. So Allah Ta'ala mentions sama first, listening first, and thereafter seeing. And even scientifically, this is proven now, that the child, the embryo which is in the womb of the mother, the first faculty which is developed is hearing, and thereafter seeing. So even in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala first mentions hearing and thereafter seeing. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِن بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ Allah Ta'ala says that we took you out from the stomachs of your mothers. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا You had no knowledge whatsoever. You knew nothing at all. You knew nothing. Now you knew nothing. You've come into this very big world. And you are going to spend 60, 70, 80 years here. How are you going to live in this world when you know nothing? So Allah Ta'ala says, we gave you tools. And what tools did we give you? وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ. The first tool we gave you is the ability to listen. Now by listening, you are able to acquire information and knowledge. وَالْأَبْصَارَ. And then we gave you the ability to see. Now you would see things and you would learn and you would gain information. وَالْأَفْئِدَ. And your heart. Your heart and mind, now you are thinking, you are pondering. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, you ponder and you come to a conclusion. So even here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning these three organs. The eyes, the ears, and the heart and mind. And it's extremely important that a person uses these faculties correctly. This is why on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that specifically we are going to question you regarding these three organs. Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ula'ika kana anhu mas'ula. You will be questioned with regards to all of these three things. The ability to listen, the ability to see, and the ability to think. You will be asked that we gave you the ability to see. Did you use this ability to see to recognize your creator, or did you use this ability to see to try and gain this dunya and this world? The ability to listen. Did you use this ability to listen to gain a connection with your creator, or did you use this ability to try and gain this dunya and this world? And likewise, we gave you the ability to comprehend, to think, to ponder. Did you use that brain of yours to try and gain Allah, or did you try and use that brain to gain this dunya and this world? Because these are the two groups now. After being given these three faculties, each and every human being will be distributed into two groups. You will have one group who will use these faculties with fikre ma'ash, with the concern of this world. Their concern will be that how can I progress from a worldly point of view? And the other group are those that they use these same three faculties. But their concern is not how can I progress in the dunya. Their concern is how can I progress in the akhirah. So we have all been given the same tools. Place aside those who are excused because they are not in the game. Somebody who is deaf, who is blind, who is mentally handicapped, he is not mukallaf. Allah Ta'ala is not going to question him that why didn't you practice. They haven't been given the tools. But for the majority who have the tools, who have the faculties, just having the faculties is not sufficient. So through this you will now be able to understand that why is it that in the dunya, in the world, there are people who are extremely intelligent, extremely clever. More clever than you and I, more intelligent than you and I. Financially, they have everything. Resources-wise, they have everything at their disposal. But the very individuals who can reach the moon, they cannot understand this simple fact that there is one Allah who is the creator and who is worthy of worship. They also have the same brain, if not a greater brain than you and me. They are more intelligent than you and me. But they are using this faculty with the concern of how can they progress in the world. They are not using their brain that how can we progress in the akhirah. This is why Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding them in the Quran, lahum qulubun. They have hearts. La yafqahuna biha. But with these hearts, they cannot understand. So they can understand. They have more understanding than you and I. But they can only understand when it comes to a worldly point of view. As soon as you try to explain to them akhirah, understanding ends. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes, but they cannot see with these eyes. So this doesn't mean that they cannot see. It doesn't mean they are blind. No, they can see everything. But everything they look at it from a worldly point of view. When they see a mountain, they think to themselves that how can I progress from a worldly point of view? Let me climb this mountain and break the world record. And when a believer looks at the very mountain, the mountain reminds him of Allah Ta'ala. And he thinks of the power of Allah. He thinks of the greatness of Allah. And he thinks to himself that if I was to disobey Allah Ta'ala, this great Allah could punish me. They look at everything from a worldly point of view, and this group looks at everything from the point of view of Akhirah. And when a person looks at everything from a worldly point of view, then Allah Ta'ala says, now this person, his rank and his status becomes so low, so low, so low, that أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. Now they are like animals. The very human being, regarding whom Allah Ta'ala said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created the insan in the best of statures. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمٍ. We gave the son of Adam alayhi salam honor over all of the other creations. So when he came into this world, he was a human. No other creation of Allah Ta'ala could surpass him, could compete with him. But he didn't use his eyes the way he was supposed to. He didn't use his ears the way he was supposed to. He didn't think and use his brain the way he was supposed to. Now he is degrading himself. And he degrades himself so much that he becomes like an animal. But the Quran doesn't stop here. The Quran says, Balhum adal. That it's an insult to say he is an animal or like an animal. Balhum adal. He is even worse than animals. And do we not see human beings? The sort of actions they perpetrate is worse than an animal. An animal does not kill its own, but a human is killing its own. So now you can understand that how can humans stoop so low? What is happening around the world? It's difficult to comprehend that a human being, can he really do this? Is it possible? But when everything is being looked at, is being heard, is being understood from a worldly point of view, then such a person's faculties, they do not give him the ability to do the correct things. And he does such actions which are even worse than animals. And on the other side, you have that human being that he uses his ears, his eyes, and his brain with the fikr and the concern of the akhirah, the hereafter. At all times, he has hereafter in his mind. That how can I progress in the hereafter? How can I progress in the hereafter? So he begins. And he begins his journey by first of all concentrating on the compulsory acts of deen. He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told me to perform 5 times salah. So whatever happens, I have to perform 5 times salah on a daily basis. In the month of Ramadan, I have to fast. If hajj is compulsory upon me, I have to perform hajj. If zakat is compulsory upon me, I have to give zakat. Lying is haram, so I have to refrain from lying. Interest-based transactions are haram, so I have to stay away from interest. He works on the compulsory aspects of deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that such a servant who practices and who concentrates on the compulsory aspects of deen. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَدْتُهُ إِلَيْهِ. My servant is not able to come more closer to me than when he practices upon the compulsory acts. This is the easiest way to get close to Allah Ta'ala. So he concentrates on the compulsory aspects of deen. And by concentrating on the compulsory aspects of deen and bringing them into his life, he becomes very close to Allah Ta'ala. Extremely close. Now when he becomes extremely close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala now blesses him with the opportunity and the ability to carry out optional acts. So now he begins to bring optional acts into his life. First he wasn't performing tahajjud salah, now he is performing tahajjud salah. First he was only fasting in Ramadan, now he's fasting outside Ramadan also. First he was only giving zakat, now he's giving optional charity also. First he was only going for hajj, now he's going for umrah also. Now optional acts come into his life. It's a gradual process. Now once the optional acts start to come in his life, now he's receiving all of these bonus points. First he was only gaining the minimum points, the necessary points. Now he's gaining bonus points. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي. Now my servant, he starts to get even more close to me. Through the faraid, he was already close. Now with the optional acts, he's getting even more closer. وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. With the optional acts, he gets closer and closer and closer until حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. Until I begin to love him. Now this person becomes the beloved of Allah. He becomes the beloved of Allah. That individual has become worse than an animal because he never used his faculties correctly. And this individual has reached such heights that he has now become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. You know, what better words can there be than a person is able to utter that I am the beloved of Allah, my Allah loves me. He becomes the beloved of Allah. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, it's a hadith Qudsi, that Allah Ta'ala himself is saying this. Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. Now when I begin to love this servant of mine, what happens? كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. I become the ears with which he listens. So now he can only listen to that which Allah Ta'ala wants him to listen to. He will never be able to listen to haram. Allah Ta'ala will make circumstances such that wherever there is haram, Allah Ta'ala will save him from such a gathering. Allah Ta'ala knows that Saturday at 6 p.m. in his house, two people will be backbiting. So Allah Ta'ala will take him to the masjid. That you are not going to sit there, otherwise you will also be part of the sin. Allah Ta'ala knows that at 6:15 there is going to be music in his house. So Allah Ta'ala will remove him from there. He will not be able to listen to haram anymore. Because he is now protected, he is in the protection of Allah. He can only listen to that which Allah Ta'ala wants him to listen to. I become the ears with which he listens. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهَا. And I become the eyes with which he sees. Now he can only see correct things. He cannot see anything wrong. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا. I become the hands with which he touches. He will not be able to do anything haram with his hands now. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And I become the feet with which he walks. He will not walk towards haram. He started off by concentrating on the basics, on the fara'iz, on the compulsory aspects of deen. This built his stamina. When he built his stamina, now he was also able to carry out optional acts. When he was able to carry out optional acts also, he became so beloved to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that now Allah Ta'ala took him in his protection. Now he is refraining from all types of sins. Allah Ta'ala is controlling his eyes, his ears, his hands, his feet. Now his status becomes such that Allah Ta'ala says, إِن سَأَلَنِي أَعْطَيْتُهُ. If he was to say, oh Allah, I am in need of this, can you give it to me? Instantly Allah Ta'ala will give it to him. This is his connection with Allah now. وَلَئِنِ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And if he was to say, oh Allah, protect me, then instantly Allah Ta'ala will grant him protection. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when they were traveling, they were both on a means of conveyance. So Ibn Abbas was a young child at the time. But this was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even whilst traveling with the young child, he never lost the opportunity to teach, to give advice. If we are driving in the car and the radio is on, our mind is somewhere else. Even at that time, and look at the advice which is being imparted while on a journey. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma also, look at his eagerness and his zeal to gain the knowledge, that he learnt every single word and he has thereafter imparted it to the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ghulam, O beloved child, ihfadillaha yahfadhka. Safeguard the commands of Allah and Allah Ta'ala will safeguard you. In other words, bring the entire deen into your life and then look at how Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala safeguards you. Ihfadillah, safeguard the commands of Allah. Tajidhu tijahak. You will find Allah Ta'ala in front of you. Idha sa'alta fas'alillah. Whenever you ask, ask from Allah. A young child, and he's being taught that whenever you are in need of anything, the first being you should ask from is Allah. That should be your connection. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Whenever you need to seek assistance from Allah. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, he explained this, that وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. That if the entire nation, or if the entire world were to become one in trying to benefit you in a single matter, but Allah Ta'ala has not written benefit for you in that matter, they will not be able to do so. And وَإِنِ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَن يَدُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَن يَدُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. If everyone was to become one in trying to harm you in a matter, but Allah Ta'ala has not written harm for you in that matter, they will not be able to do so. So when a person's entire deen, entire life is in accordance to the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then now he has the assistance of Allah. Now he has the assistance of Allah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists him in practicing upon the deen also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist him in every other matter, whether it be connected to this world or whether it be connected to the akhirah. Because he has now become the beloved of Allah. This is why in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ abdan, when Allah ta'ala loves one of his servants. So when does Allah Ta'ala love one of his servants? We've learned from the first hadith that you first bring the fara'id in your life, then the optional acts. Now you become the beloved of Allah. When you become the beloved of Allah and Allah Ta'ala now loves you, nada Jibreel. And Allah Ta'ala hearkens Jibreel alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, inni uhibbu fulanan fa ahbibhu, that I love so and so. And Allah Ta'ala will take your name. Allah Ta'ala will say, I love Adam. I love Ibrahim. So, oh Jibreel, you also love him. Now this is Allah saying it. So as soon as Allah says this, instantly the love of this individual is present in the heart of Jibreel alayhi salam. And he begins to love this person. Now he has become the beloved of Allah also. He has become the beloved of Jibreel also. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says to Jibreel alayhi salam that now go and make the announcement in the heavens. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا, that Allah Ta'ala loves Ibrahim. So all the creatures in the heavens, you should also love Ibrahim. Now everyone in the heavens begins to love this person. And thereafter Jibreel alayhi salam descends on the earth and Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحْبِبُهُ, that Allah Ta'ala loves Ibrahim, so all of you on the earth should also love him. Now everyone on the earth, they begin to love this person. فَيُوْدَعُ لَهُ الْقُبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this person now experiences and enjoys acceptance on earth. This acceptance that you don't even know this person, but you just want to go and spend time with him. You just want to sit in his company. You just want to look at him. And you're thinking to yourself that 5 years ago, I didn't even know him. Last week, I didn't even know him. Suddenly, where is this love coming from? So this love is divine from Allah, which He places in the servants of each and every person, in the heart of each and every person. Why? Because this individual is living his life in accordance to the pleasure of Allah. And if the Muslims were to reach this level, on a global level, on a global scale, that we begin to practice upon the deen and we become the beloved of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala instructs Jibreel that you must love him also. So Jibreel alayhi salam comes down and commands the people of earth, you must love him also, you must love him also, you must love him also. Then who is going to be able to harm us? Because in the heart of every disbeliever also will be the love for the believers. They will have to love us, they will be compelled to love us. Even though they don't want to love us, they will have to love us. And when they will have to love us, when they will be loving us, how can they attack such a person? How can they kill such a person? So the only solution to Islamophobia is this, that each and every believer uses these faculties that Allah Ta'ala has granted him with the concern of Akhirah, that how can I become the beloved of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So a very important point has been mentioned here, that وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ سَمْعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدًا, that these faculties have been to be used with the concern of Akhirah, not the concern of this world. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, two incidents took place before he embraced Islam. The first incident is that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is standing outside the haram of Makkatul Mukarramah. It is night time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing by the Kaaba, and in tahajjud, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reciting the Quran, most specifically Suratul Haqqah. And whilst reciting Suratul Haqqah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches these verses, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. And Umar radiallahu anhu is listening to the recitation. It's night time, it's Makkah, it's the Kaaba, and it's the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in tahajjud salah. Just imagine the effect of that recitation. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on this occasion, he was listening with fikre ma'ash, with the concern of the world, not the concern of Akhirah. With the concern of the world. That I am Umar, and I have a standing in society. People look up to me. They respect me. If I was to embrace Islam, I could lose that honor. I could lose that respect. So he brushes the thought to one side that this is the Nabi of Allah. This is Wahi. This is revelation. This is Quran. And the thought crosses his mind that this must be poetry. It's having a profound effect on me, but it's poetry. The thought crosses his mind. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instantly recites the next ayah, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. This is not the words of a poet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not know that Umar radiallahu anhu is standing there and these thoughts are crossing his mind. Umar radiallahu anhu is startled that I thought this person's a poet, and the very words, the very next ayah he recited was that this is not the word of a poet. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the next verse, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ. These are not the words of a fortune teller. These are not the words of a fortune teller. So Umar radiallahu anhu thinks to himself that, well, what is this then? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the next ayah. Tanzeelum min Rabbil Alameen. This is revelation from Rabbul Alameen. But he was listening with the concern of progress in the world. So even this recitation from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sufficient to make him embrace Islam. Thereafter, the second incident takes place. When he is heading towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention to assassinate him. So the companion who sees that Umar is on his way to assassinate our Nabi, he diverts his route and says that first go and check your own sister. She has also embraced Islam. So when he reaches his sister's house, he listens very attentively from outside that what is going on. Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu is the teacher. And he is teaching the sister of Umar radiallahu anhu and her husband the Quran, Surah Taha. Umar radiallahu anhu listens to Surah Taha. But again, with the concern of the dunya, the concern of progress in this world, so it doesn't have an effect again. Rather, his rebellious nature increases more and he goes inside and he attacks his own sister and she begins to bleed. But his sister Fatima radiallahu anha, she says that, "O Umar, you can do whatever you want. You can attack me, you can take my life. But I am not going to turn away from this religion. I have accepted Islam." Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu thinks that what is this Islam? That my sister who till yesterday would not look me in the eye. And forget my sister, even the men in Makkatul Mukarrama do not have the courage to look at me. Where has this power suddenly come from in my sister? So he says, "Show me, what were you reciting?" Now it's with fikr of the akhirah. Now it's with the concern of progress in the hereafter. So now when he listens to those same verses of Surah Taha, he embraces Islam and he reads the kalima. So these faculties have to be used with concern of akhirah, not concern of progress in this world. Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we listen to bayans, when we listen to talks, because we listen to the talk, but we don't listen with this in mind, that how can I use this talk to progress in the akhirah? This is why the talks do not benefit us. How many talks are people listening to in this day and age? But the majority just listen to talks for entertainment. There is a large group who don't listen to deeni talks at all. But those who do listen to religious talks, if they were to first check their intention that why am I listening to this particular talk, the answer will be that it's entertaining. I find enjoyment. This is why when they will see there is an event taking place where there are many people and the speakers are such that they will be able to mesmerize the crowd, then everybody will go there. But from those that will go, how many will actually return and bring a revolution in their life? You will see it's very few. If any. So when you listen to a deeni talk, when you listen to Quran, you have to listen with the concern of akhirah, that how can I progress in the hereafter? How can I use this particular talk to progress in the akhirah? What am I going to do when I leave from here? How am I going to change my life? What wrongs are in my life that I need to remove them from my lives? Which good things are there which I am supposed to do, which I am not doing, and I need to bring into my life? When you will listen with this concern of progress in the hereafter, then this talk will now be beneficial for you. Otherwise, it can be the Nabi of Allah. He is saying to his uncle Abu Talib that you are in your final moments, you are about to leave the world. Just read the kalima, so that in the akhirah I can intercede on your behalf and you can gain entry into Jannah. Otherwise you will have to burn in Jahannam forever and ever. Now can there be a more effective talk than this? You are in the final moments of your life and the Nabi of Allah, the Prophet of Allah is telling you But if you listen with concern of progress in the world, then what did Abu Talib say? اخترتُ النار على العار. I have given preference to the fire of Jahannam over shame. I can bear this that I will burn in Jahannam forever and ever. But I cannot bear this that after I die, these people will say that Abu Talib, he left the religion of his forefathers. Ala millati Abdul Muttalib. I am remaining upon the ideology and the religion of my grandfather Abdul Muttalib. Despite knowing, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ. He said, I know for a fact that the best religion on this earth is the religion of my nephew Muhammad. I know Islam is the correct religion. But لولا الملامة أو حذار مسبة لوجدتني سمحا بذاك مبينا. If it was not for the fact that I feared that people will talk about me, what will people say? What will people say? Today, how many people are not willing to change their ways because of this illness? That what will people say? If I start practicing, what will people say? If I start practicing, what will my friends say? If I start practicing, what will my family say? This peer pressure. This peer pressure is a means due to which a person is unable to bring deen and religion into his life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُهُمْ وَلَا أَفْئِدَتُهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِذْ كَانُوا يَجْحَدُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. That however their ears, their eyes and hearts were of no benefit to them at all because they rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat and eventually the mockery they made encompassed them. Meaning that they made a mockery, the people of Ad made a mockery of the punishment when they were told by Hud alayhi salam that the punishment of Allah ta'ala will descend if you carry on rejecting me, if you do not accept the religion. Then they made a mockery and they said, if there is going to be a punishment, then what are you waiting for? Tell your Allah to send it down now. So finally, that punishment came. And as we learned in last week's lesson, they were all destroyed. And thereafter, in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا مَا حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْقُرَىٰ وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا مَا حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْقُرَىٰ. We have destroyed several towns around you. What this means is that in the previous verses, we were speaking about the people of Ad, who are at a distance. But let's leave people of Ad for a while, and let's come closer to home. Those people who are around you, for example, the nation of Thamud, when you travel to Sham for your business trips, you pass by the ruins of the people of Thamud, and you see how we destroyed them also. And likewise, when you travel, you go past the Dead Sea, where we destroyed the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. So look at how we destroyed them. Think about how they disobeyed Allah Ta'ala and they were destroyed, and take a lesson from them. You don't even need to go as far as Ad. وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا مَا حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْقُرَىٰ وَصَرَّفْنَا الْآيَاتِ. And we had clearly explained the ayat. Sarrafna, sarrafna meaning we left no stone unturned. Even in the Quran, over and over again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining in different ways. Then maybe if I was to explain in this way, they will understand. Maybe if I was to explain in this way, somebody will understand. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that they may return to Iman, they may return to believing in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because they didn't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally destroyed them. And because the disbelievers, they used to say that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to punish us. And even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to punish us, then we have our idols. The gods that we worship, they will assist us against the punishment. So Allah Ta'ala mentions in the next ayah that فَلَوْلَا نَصَرَهُمُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ قُرْبَانًا آلِهَا. So why were they not helped by those gods whom they took as a means of gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why were they not helped by those gods? So look at the previous nations, the nation of Ad, Thamud, Lut alayhi salam, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to send down his punishment, where were those gods? The very gods regarding whom they used to say, Ha'ula ishufa'auna indallah, that these are the very gods who are going to intercede on our behalf in the court of Allah ta'ala. They would say that, Ma na'buduhum illa liyuqarribuna ila Allahi zulfa. We only worship these idols because by worshipping them, we will gain more proximity and closeness to Allah ta'ala. So if that is the case, when Allah ta'ala sent down the punishment on these nations, where were these idols and these gods? So in the same way that the mushrikeen of Makkah al-Mukarramah are being told that these idols are not going to be able to assist you. بَلْ ضَلُّوا عَنْهُمْ. They will be lost to them. They will not be there when they need help. وَذَلِكَ إِفْكُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. This is merely their lie that they make up. So in these ayat, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the disbelievers of Makkah al-Mukarramah initially, and thereafter the disbelievers until the time of Qiyamah, but each and every one of us as believers have to also take this lesson that these faculties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we need to use them with concern of the akhirah, not concern of progress in this world. This is the intelligent one. The intelligent one is not who will use these faculties to progress from a worldly point of view. The intelligent one is he that he will use these faculties to progress as far as akhirah is concerned. This is why when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Man akyasun nas? O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most clever from all the people? Who is the most intelligent? So upon this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said, Aktharuhum dhikran lil maut. That person who remembers death excessively. The person who remembers death excessively. Because if you don't remember death excessively, you are going to be deceived by thinking to yourself that I still have a long way to go. Or you will think, you will not even think of death. You will think to yourself that whatever there is this world. So you will only use your faculties in trying to gain progress in this dunya and in this world. And you will forget the hereafter. You will forget your death. أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَإِسْتِعْدَانًا لِلْمَوْتِ. So number one, they remember death excessively. And when they will remember death excessively, then وَإِسْتِعْدَانًا لِلْمَوْتِ, they will prepare for death. They will prepare for this meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will prepare for this meeting. They will prepare for this interview. If a person knows that tomorrow I have an interview, how much preparation does he make for that interview? How much preparation? Whereas, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is that you fail in that interview, you don't get that job. There are plenty of more options. Rather, a believer will think from this angle that it's better that I didn't get this job because it's possible there was something bad in that job. So Allah Ta'ala has saved me. And Allah Ta'ala wants to give me something better. But this interview with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person fails in this interview, then there is no second chance. At the time of death, he will say, Rabbi rji'un, O Allah, return me back in the world. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا, so that I can do good deeds. But it'll be too late. Now Allah Ta'ala will say, كَلَّا, no chance. There is no second chance. On the day of Qiyamah, he will ask for a second chance. When he goes into Jahannam, he will ask for a second chance. So the intelligent one is he that he uses these faculties with the concern of akhirah, that how can I progress in the hereafter? What have I done for my hereafter? And for this, the prescription shown by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that excessively remember death. Remember death. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned to the Sahaba that kuntu nahaytukum an ziyaratil qubur. That originally I had, due to certain reasons, prevented you from visiting the graveyard. Due to the practices that would take place in the time of the ignorance, in the days of ignorance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the Sahaba that from a Shari'i point of view, after you have buried a person, you are not allowed to visit the graveyard. This was in the initial stages. But then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah, listen very attentively, fazuruha. Now I am commanding you that visit the graveyard. Visit the graveyard. Why should you visit the graveyard? فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Because it will remind you of your own death. It will remind you of your own death. This again has become a pandemic of our ummah. That even in the graveyard we don't remember our own death. First of all, we don't visit the graveyard. The only time we visit the graveyard is if a close member of the family has passed away. And even then we will go because I have to go. If I don't go, then what will people say? So to show our face, we go and visit the graveyard. We go for the janazah. And the proof of that is, the proof is that we are not going to this funeral because we have concern for our Muslim brother. It's a very sad state of the ummah. Your own brother has passed away. Your own father has passed away. Your own uncle has passed away. Your close friend has passed away. What concern should you be going to the janazah and the funeral? The concern should be such that as soon as you sit in your car and you start driving to the qabristan and the graveyard, from that moment your thought process should be that this beloved of ours is going to be buried in the grave. So let me start praying for him. How many people can say that from my house in the graveyard is a 15-minute drive, 20-minute drive, 25-minute drive, I spend those 15, 20, 25 minutes praying? No, we are talking about this and that. I am judge and jury for myself, you are judge and jury for yourselves. We're not talking about going to a funeral of someone far, we're talking about somebody who is very close to us. But even then, we cannot spend those 15, 20 minutes praying for them. So if we are not going to pray for them, who is going to pray for them? And when we are not praying for anybody, do you really think somebody is going to pray for you when you die? And then when you reach the graveyard, Allahu Akbar, you reach the graveyard and there's 10 minutes left for janazah salah. There's 15 minutes left for janazah salah. Just look in that room. Everybody is talking about the world. There's not one person who's concerned with regards to that person who in the next few seconds is going to be buried in his grave. And as soon as the janazah salah finishes, again, talking about the world. You've just prayed janazah salah. And even when the burial is taking place, those 5, 10, 15 people, they are busy burying the person and everybody else is still talking. You're waiting that when will the imam do the dua so I can return back home. The one place where you should be remembering death, you cannot remember death. This is why the ulama mentioned that the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they were more cognizant of death in their marriages than you and I are in our funerals. Like, where were they and where are we? And then we are complaining that what is happening to the ummah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, remember death excessively. Remember death excessively. And one way to remember death is you visit the graveyard. Even on a normal day, there's no funeral, go to the graveyard. Just look at the stones. That this person, he passed away at this age. This person, he passed away at this age. This person is that very person who used to live with us. He used to spend time with us. Look, he passed away when he was only 20. He passed away when he was only 30. So this will remind you that this is where I need to go also. This is also my final destination. So when you go for a funeral, right from the moment you sit in your car and you are heading towards the graveyard, you should be praying. Pray for the deceased and at the same time, remind yourself that this is going to be my journey one day also. Ya sahibi la taghtarir bitana'umin fal umru yanfadhu wan na'imu yazulu. The poet says, Ya Sahibi, O my beloved friend, لا تغترر بتنعم, don't be deceived by the glitter and the glamour of this world. فالأمر ينفذ, this life is going to come to an end. والنعيم يزول, and all of these glitters and glamour is all going to come to an end. Your house is going to perish, your money is going to finish, your status that you think is all, it's all going to go, everything is going to finish. إِذَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً. So next time when you go to the qabrastan, when next time you go to the graveyard, and you lift that coffin on your shoulder, إِذَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً فَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُولُ. Then at that time, tell yourself that today I am lifting this coffin on my shoulder and taking this person towards his grave. Tomorrow, somebody is going to be lifting my coffin on their shoulder and taking me towards my grave. Today is his turn, tomorrow is going to be my turn. We have to bring this reality into our hearts and minds that death is inevitable and death can come at any time. Then a person will be able to obey Allah Ta'ala and save himself from the disobedience of Allah. So the next time the thought crosses your mind that let me commit this sin, let me disobey Allah, I am still young, I am still fit, I am still healthy, what can happen to me? It's a Saturday night, let me enjoy myself, I'll repent later on. Ramadan is around the corner, I'll change my life in Ramadan. I'll change my life after I get married. I'll change my life after I go for Hajj. This is all a deception. This is all a deception. Death can come instantly. Death can come instantly. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that how many people have we seen? Kam min sahihin ra'aytu min ghayri suqmin. How many people have we seen? They were completely fit and healthy. No medical record whatsoever. Kam sahihin min ghayri suqmin. ذَهَبَتْ نَفْسُهُ السَّحِيحَةُ فَلْتَةً. Instantly the nafs went and they lost their life. Instantly. So this was something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in my mind from the depth of my heart. It's a reminder through the barakah of the glorious Quran that we have to look at everything, listen to everything, and ponder and think with regards to everything with concern of how can I progress in the akhirah, and not how do I progress in this dunya and in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a life-changing moment for all of us, and make it a moment that in the akhirah we remember that this was the moment in which I changed my life, due to which today I am entering Jannah and Paradise. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله
حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله
حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل؟ ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل؟ وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل، ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل، فجعلهم كعصف مأكول.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لإيلاف قريش، إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف، فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي يطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا